and I'll take your bio data from the thing. That would be great. So, so you told me that you had finished your PhD at BHU. What motivated you to go to Guruji? Did you know him before that, or could you just describe your spiritual journey for our authors to?
Actually, I went to Kashi, now known as Varanasi. The Benares. My grandfather went there to do his, after he retired as a deputy collector of police, superintendent police, central excise. And when he retired, he wanted to spend his life in Kashi, what we say as Kashivas.
And he was originally in Hyderabad? Or
he was in Ongole and Andhra Ongole. Pradesh.
My brother-in-law is from Ongole.
And he is also from Ongole.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, my God. I'll tell you who my brother-in-law is later. Maybe you know
him. So, and I was much attached to my grandfather. So I also went to Kashi, and there my 10th class to until PhD, I finished my work there. And in that process, we know that Kashi is Benares, now known as Varanasi also. So it is more important for the spiritual and cultural development of Andhra Pradesh, Uttar Pradesh. So I had a number of gurus there in Uttar Pradesh. Almost I had 39 gurus in Kashi in my age, since my 12th year to 21st year. And Anandamayima and Shobha Devi, and then Kinaram Baba, Devariya Baba, there are so many people who are very famous later. At that time I was so young, 12 years or 13 years. I just used to go with my grandfather and hear them and doing my own pranks and my grandfather dealing with them. So suddenly, why not?
I'm curious. So he just had no roots in Kashi, nothing. He just picked up and went.
Went, because he wanted to stay after retirement in Kashi.
So he found a place and all when he went.
Went.
I just am so curious. Wow. And he didn't know Hindi?
No.
And that was not a problem?
No problem.
Because people knew English.
Knew English.
Yeah. Sorry, sir.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm so curious. Yeah.
And slowly, because of me and because of the prolonged stay, he learned. But it was just a small level of Hindi only, not very fluent Hindi. But I learned sufficient Hindi that I forgot Telugu.
Because you lived there.
There. So in 1971, I first came in contact with Param Puja Gurudev. And till then I had, say, almost 39 gurus. But now, after that was in 1971, and now it is 35 years or more than that, and I am still not able to fathom Param Puja Gurudev's depth and understanding of spiritualism. Whereas with 39 gurus, I could able to understand and go to a next guru, next guru, next guru. But with Sri Ram Sharma Acharya, the problem is I am not going anywhere, but I am going deep. And it is still being continued. So that's how I met him. And
wonderful. And did you go visit him, or he just came and gave a provision and you were just drawn to him?
No, it is almost before I met him, I had 3 dreams on different occasions. But I never knew him. At that time, I never knew him. So it was some very great, attractive old man advising me or guiding me. But when I went there, the first words he used is, "Do I need to call 3 times that you come?" That gave me that relationships. That word somehow touched my heart. He knew already, and I couldn't guess, but he was already behind me, guiding me.
That's great. And so you went to Haridwar at that time, and then you just stayed there, is that right?
No, at that time I was doing my final year MSc. And so in summer I went there.
Okay.
Then this occasion happened because, and he was also shifting from Mathura to Haridwar.
Oh, he was in Mathura?
At that time.
Okay.
But that was in on 16th, 17th, 18th June of 1971. So at that summer I met him.
Yeah.
And after that I came back and I was doing my MSc and then PhD for 3.5 years and 1 year MSc. So 4.5 years I was a regular visitor to Haridwar. And there I learned a number of sadhanas, especially the what Guruji says as a Prajna Yoga, the yoga of wisdom. And he differentiates between Gyan and Prajna. Let us say what we say, a distilled knowledge is wisdom. So he used to take a number of classes, training classes, jisko in Hindi we call it as sadhana shibir. So that a number of sadhana shibirs he used to take, one Pran Pratyavartan shibir where he transforms the vitality of spiritual life. And then you have this, what we call Kayakalpa Shibir. And then you have the Gayatri Mahavigyan Shibir. So similarly, I used to attend a number of classes. And he always used to see that we understand the science behind spiritualism. That is where he always used to say that I am giving you Adhyatmik Vigyan. Scientific spiritualism. So that's how he trained us, and he's still continuing his training. Even now when I read some of those books, I feel I never read before. And even though I must be reading it third time or fourth time, but every time we find some new angle.
So my question is, actually this was a big question that came up yesterday, only because I have that context, I ask you that. You know, how do you see really the difference between science and spirituality? Are they different? Or is it science, as I know, was it a word in the Indian pantheon different from spiritual knowledge?
No.
Let me just extend the question. I was reading a book yesterday. I was reading a lecture notes from one of the Harvard professors. He says, begins with this, that science is an extension of Western philosophy that blew me off.
Ah, that's a beautiful point, yeah.
So, from that angle and from our Vigyan, Vigyan and science, and Adhyatma, our whole context flows.
You want to understand the link between science and religion? That's the question that you are asking?
My first question is that the science as it is understood in West,
yeah,
all over the world,
hmm,
it is appropriated by the Western philosophical tradition that science is an extension of Western philosophy.
Right.
So how we say Vigyan,
yeah, right,
in Indian context and the science in Western context, is there any meeting point? Or
no, there is a meeting point, but sometimes certain words carry different meaning as you go deeper into the subject. So actually, what we call it as Adhyatmikata, what is spiritualism, the in Patanjali Yoga Shastras or in Gita, or if you go to the Upanishads, and we have 108 Upanishads classified as Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. All these, if we can try to find out actually what they are trying to convey, what Parampuja Gurudev says is spiritualism is nothing but to know the laws of how to live. The laws of life.
Life
and
science.
So the relationship between these two, whatever science now is trying to do is to understand material science,
mm-hmm,
or the science of matter. I am not saying it as the materialistic concept. Bhautikavad ke bare mein nahi bata raha hun. But what I say is the science of matter. A particular matter behaves like this. And when once you know the science of matter, it led it that matter is nothing but consolidated energy, solidified energy, concrete energy. That is what Einstein's formula says, E is equal to mc squared when we call it. So what we say that matter and energy are interconvertible. Our law of mass energy equivalence. They are not also interconvertible. They say they are equal. It is only your way, how you look at it. And now spiritualism says that there is a level which is a bit higher than energy. Because if you can just draw your thinking, energy is also a very, very subtle matter. It is also material by nature. Am I able to convey my idea?
Yeah, yeah.
Even energy is its own matter.
Yes.
And in Atharva Veda, somewhere I read that there are about 18 types of water.
18 types of water?
Water. And our present-day education says about 3 types of water. The normal water, the heavy water, and the tritium, the third isotope of atom of hydrogen. And if it is converted, then you have 3 types of water. And when Atharva Veda says 18 types, so 6 more types into 3, 6 into 3.
Oh,
so
okay.
All these are energy levels. And spiritualism, just as matter is merging into energy, energy will merge into spiritualism. But this spiritualism, what we call, now has been much misunderstood, and somehow people feel that they are being away from matter. Vairagi ban jate. They always want to go away from life. But whereas spiritualism, especially the Upanishads and the Vedas, force you to understand that nature is much more useful, matter is much more beneficial if you understand the laws of life, which is the source of energy from higher level. So now we have 3 levels: matter, energy, and spiritualism, or life. But I always like to say life, because Parampuja Gurudev always used to say that Gayatri means Gayan Trayati Iti Gayatri. Gayan means life, prana. So exactly Gayatri gives you a well-planned art, science, and technology of living. So in that way, the spiritualistic aspects of science and the materialistic aspect of science join together. But what we are missing is, in science we have actually 3 levels of understanding. First is an experiment, and then we observe the experiment, and then we get an inference. And a series of such inferences and experiments gives you a theory, which then becomes a law. That is what the basis of all science is, a number of experiments. And of course, when you say experiments, the parameters change or controlled. And then you observe. And after you observe it, we get an inference. And a series of these inferences lead you to a theory. We develop a model. And then that model leads you to understanding the laws of some energy in nature. So that is material. Science. Matter science. In spiritualism, what happens, the same aspect of experimenting, observing, and inference is not being done. And Parampuja Gurudev has given that very, very, very logical and scientific process to know your different orientations of life. And very specifically he mentions that your life is fivefold. And even the matter, the anatomy also proves it, that when you breathe, automatically the body goes into, the air goes into 5 lobes, 3 in the right side lungs and 2 lobes on the left side, and then the heart. So what Parampuja Gurudev says, Gayan Trayati Iti Gayatri is one aspect where the prana or vitality is this. Next way of defining it is Gayantam Trayati Iti Gayatri. So how you sing about it. And Gita is nothing but a song, a celestial song. So when it goes into our body, we have 5 types of songs. What we say, the prana, apana, vyana, udana, and samana. So this interrelationship of 5 kinds of life energies is actually the 5 faces of Gayatri. So in this way, the spiritual science can now slowly attain a status of a number of experiments, observations, and inferences, which lead what Parampuja Gurudev has given as Prajna Yoga, the science of wisdom.
So if a I understand you correctly, sir, you're telling me that indeed this approach that has been used in the scientific field of experimentation, setting up experiments, setting up control groups, setting up models, is also something that Parampuja Gurudev has implemented to understand the guy, the is that correct?
Correct, 100%.
So he has actually done experimentation, is that what you're saying?
He has done not only on himself first, for about 24 years, continuously, non-stop, per day, 8 hours. And with all that, he used to read and take part in that freedom fighting at that time. Mm-hmm. And he used to help a lot of workers in freedom fighters, Satantra Sangrami Senani. And all that he personally experimented. And after that, he started developing a group of people who can do this one. And how did he do it? He did it with a very, what we call, the scientific way. Mm-hmm. How science develops is because of the literature, the magazines to which they contribute.
Right.
And all the people read the magazines, the articles. And after reading the articles, some people
reprint
and do that and that. So similarly, as a spiritual science magazine, he started Akhanda Jyoti. And that Akhanda Jyoti, single-handed, 64 pages of Hindi articles without any advertisement. And throughout his life he maintained, and he used to write all the articles himself, comparing with what he said to others and how they have reported. So his Akhanda Jyoti magazine is our spiritual science journal. And that is where we find repeatedly in the articles he talks about the conscious mind, the superconscious mind. He writes about so many aspects of subtle powers of matter, what we call herbs, when you use it in fire. And using herbs in fire is what technically called is yajna.
And so that is very important. For it's actually got a practical value to elevate your spirituality.
Right.
Absolutely. Oh, see, each one of those herbs have proven.
A very rough example he used to give me when I was very young, doing my MSc at that time. So I was telling, I never find any influence of this yajna affecting anybody.
Yeah.
He said, you know that the herbs that we are using in yajna is 33 types. And the number of our backbones are also 33. And he says that these 33 herbs are directly related in developing those 33 bones.
Wonderful.
And then he said, they are so subtle that you don't know that the atmosphere is influencing the atmosphere and you also.
Wow.
But if you want a proof, he said a very rough example. Mm-hmm. Suppose of dry mirchi, you just eat yourself. So you will find some air and some cough,
yeah.
But individual.
Right.
But suppose you to put it in fire, what happens? Whether the other man knows it or not, whether he is aware of it or not, he is equally affected. But because it is rough and crude, he is able to understand. But the spiritual or the sattvic effects of herbs, you may not feel it, but it affects the mind. So that's how he used to explain.
But does it make a difference as to what state of mind you have while you do the yajna?
Yeah, if you are aware of it, if you are concentrate on it.
Oh, I see.
And
its impact would be more.
Very, very effective.
Okay.
What my personal experience is, when I do the yajna with burden.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And sometimes we feel with an interest. Certainly, I can say that is about 50 times more influence.
Really? And this is something
you personally
see, yeah. Personal. That's amazing. So, if you were very fortunate to have had this experience of having Parampuja
Gurudev
in your life, not everybody is so fortunate even to be at the feet of somebody like you. What do you think has happened? What would have happened to you if Puja Gurudev was not in your life? Do you ever think of that?
I always think.
You always think about that.
And not only I always think, sometimes I warn my little children that you be careful with Gurudev. He will sweep you off your legs. You will be thrown and thrown and thrown into the depths of consciousness. And again, I feel that I have forced by Parampuja Gurudev's thought waves that go deeper and deeper and deeper, which I could not have done myself. So whatever I am trying to tell or whatever I am trying to give, I always find that there is 99% and extra power is coming out, oozing out. And this positive approach, if all of the world can have, I think the world will change. That is what Parampuja Gurudev used to say, a revolution in thinking, Vichara Kranti Abhiyan.
And that's perfect to the segue to the next question. So what you're telling me is indeed, or what Parampuja Gurudev believes is indeed, the thoughts are what makes you.
Right.
And so that's different. So the mind, the thoughts, and the soul are all
interrelated.
Different, or how could you tell how it affects? I'd love to.
Generally,
know.
What Gayatri Mantra says, Om Bhurbhosvah Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yonah Prachodayat. Now, in our material science, the evolution is always based on solar energy and water. Evolution of life or evolution of any consciousness or anything, when we search for any being in other planets, we always see if there is solar light and water, we are sure that there will be life. And now what Gayatri Mantra says is, just like that, the subtle part of life, which the material science also says is the antibacterial, invigorating, enthusiasm effect of sunlight. Mm-hmm. So it is just light. But even though that it is just light, we are sure that it has creates a great health and a very healthy medical effect of sunlight, which nobody can say no. And then, of course, we know the effect of water in bringing out the hidden powers of a seed, a plant seed. Though a sunlight is required, water is also required. But water, what it does is, it invigorates and it gives vitality to the seed to become a tree. So what Parampuja Gurudev says, that just like the physical light and the physical water, there is a subtle light and a subtle water. And this subtle water, he talks about purity and the ability to develop the samskaras. Samskaras means the latent habits. So just as the sun, physical light and water develop the samskaras in a seed and sees that it grows properly, if you do the Gayatri Mantra, your those enthusiasm and disease-free life and your past life samskaras which are hidden, they grow. And thereby, what we don't now remember about your past life experiences, if you remember it, maybe this life, you need not again study what you have studied in your previous lives. Mm. So that's how he explains.
But he remembers them. Do you remember them?
Well, I think I remember, but he is very sure about his past lives. And he has repeatedly mentioned, but he revealed it only just before he was about to leave his body. Until then, he never revealed these things. And occasionally when I was being told, a group of people, when I say I don't mean I. He always used to teach a group of students, at least 50 or 60.
That was
always. And when I was initiated first time in 1971, he is trying to change from Madhura to Haridwar. I was one of the 5 lakh people who attended that camp.
Five lakhs.
And I was initiated probably as a part of about 1.5 lakhs are people who joined together to get the initiation. So that was his way of giving people. So what happened when all these things were saying to one group, and occasionally he used to tell about his previous births. But around 84 or so, when he has decided to enter into his special type of powerful sadhana, which is going to influence the politicians, the business people, the scientists, the artists. When I say artists, I mean the fine arts as well as the TV artists and the cinematography film artists, and then teachers on various levels. What he used to say is the Panchavirabhadra Sadhana. That was his final sadhana, in which he has given a guarantee that have affected all these people's thinking process. You have to bring it down, that's all. So then he gave his past births. And he said, we have many past births, but mainly as Kabir, then as Samath Guru Ramdas, then as Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, and now as Sri Ram Sharma Acharya.
Why does he keep coming back? I mean, it's each of these lives have been fulfilling in themselves. Is it for service of society that he keeps coming back? Or? Is it true that moksha is the ultimate aim? It's not.
And what Parampuja Gurudev used to say, that he doesn't believe in moksha. He says that if you ask me, even Lord Krishna is not free. Because if yada yada hi dharmasya, glanir bhavati bharata, abhyutthanam adharmasya, he has to show. He has promised it. So if Lord Krishna is not free.
Lord of Iran, Guruji said in several of his provisions that all of you were
together with me.
None of you are going to be moksha. You don't work for me.
By the way, sir, would you like some tea first before you talk?
Why not? And we can continue.
Yeah, no, I would like to talk to you.
Okay.
You've been so gracious with your time. But...